Super Bowl Sunday. Some of you don't give a hoot about football, and you don't have to. You know, Mark wore his Patriots garb as always. I wore a subtle color for the team I'm rooting for. So you know how that is. Yeah. Today we're going to talk about being resilient. And so I don't know what thoughts come to your mind when you think about the word resilient, but here's some definitional kind of phrases. Resilient is quick to recover, able to withstand, the quality of bouncing back, therefore the Tigger up there. Yeah. You know, life's not about how fast you run or how high you climb, but how well you bounce. You know, bouncing back. We're going to get knocked down. We're going to have trials. We're going to have difficult times, but we want to be resilient people. We don't want to get knocked down and stay down. We want to be a bounce back kind of person. Go to the next slide there. Here's a verse for us in 2 Corinthians. We have this treasure in jars of clay, and jars of clay are fragile, you know, like you and I, you know. In many ways, we're parallel to a jar of clay. We're fragile people. You know, our ecosystem, it doesn't just take everything. We get knocked down sometimes. But God's all-surpassing power is working in that jar of clay. And we're hard-pressed sometimes, but we don't have to be crushed.
Right.
We might be perplexed, but we don't have to be in despair. We might be persecuted, but we're not abandoned. And we can get knocked down, but we don't have to be destroyed. With God, we can be resilient. This is a passage talking about resiliency in the people of God. And that's who we can be with God. That's who we want to be. That's who we should be, right? With God, we should be resilient. We might get all those things can happen. We could be hard-pressed, but not crushed. If God is on our side. Here's some pictures of some resilient people. It's a picture from the Texas flooding. Just imagine being this mom with her infant being carried through floodwaters to safety. Now, I don't know the rest of her story, but I just feel like this is a resilient mom right here.
Yep.
You know, I'm guessing she's bouncing back from this. And she only cares about the fact that her and her child are safe, I would imagine. And all the other stuff is in perspective from there. Anybody know who this person is? Bethany Hamilton. Oops. Well, there she was. There she is. You know, if you don't know her story, she lost her arm to a shark attack while she was surfing. And she recovered. She bounced back. And she still surfs with one arm. Speaks about God favorably.
Amen.
Yep.
Okay, she's a resilient person. You got this next guy. I don't know his story, but you know, life gave him a big old mud pie. And he persevered, and he's just going to run on through it. He's covered in mud. You know, sometimes we feel like we get covered in our trial. Let's keep on moving through it to the other side. So this morning, we're going to talk about resilience, Gronk, and you. Some of you have no idea who Gronk is, but you will by the end of the message here. Let's talk about Gronk. He's our physical example of someone that's resilient. Go to the next slide. Rob Gronkowski, a.k.a. Gronk. 6'6" tall, 265 pounds. He's been called the Shaquille O'Neal of football. What that means is he's so big, so fast, and so strong that almost nobody can guard this guy. He's just a freak of nature, so to speak. Go to the next slide. He's got the most receiving yards and the most touchdowns of any tight end in NFL history through the first 8 seasons. And in those first 8 seasons, he's missed a season and a half. And he's still at the top of the pile of stats. This guy's a beast. This guy's amazing. You know, let's look at a few highlights. We'll talk about his disposition in a minute. Pull up his highlights. Just look at the times he gets knocked down. Look at the size difference between him and the guys that tackle him. Here's just some highlights of this guy. He's a very resilient physical person. And I want you to think about spiritually being resilient This is a physical example. We want to be spiritually resilient.
Gronkowski breaking tackles. Second and four.
In case you don't know, he's wearing white. He's the guy catching the ball right there. So if you're not a football player, he's number 87 in white.
Tom Gronkowski, you're going to see him go up the seam here. Brady with a perfect throw outside. Everyone says, well, how can you play man? They have Gronkowski. It's going to be a really hard deal. What a top four, and Gronkowski holds on for the first. Picks up 11. And you're going to play man, you're asking Artie Burns to guard a guy at least twice his size, it looks like, when he's standing there.
Play action, across the middle, Gronk open, and picks up about 17 and a first. They would have a first round bye. Again, that's where the Steelers win. Here's Brady throwing to Gronk, who's having a big quarter. Gronk's fourth catch of this quarter. A play on the north side of the 2-minute warning. Pressure on the ropes. Got Gronkowski at the 50. And Davis, who dropped the pass, drops Gronkowski. Hey, down the field and open is Gronk. He's getting separation now.
Call the plays at the line of scrimmage now, based on the coverage.
Here's a first down throw. Off the ground, Gronkowski in.
Gronkowski in man-to-man coverage, runs across the field, and does he make the catch?
Yes. Game clock to 1 minute. 1 minute.
That's a catch. Timeout there by Pittsburgh trying to save time, and that's a catch.
What an amazing catch.
For a guy of that size.
Come on.
Fade right here. Maybe he's one-on-one. Are they going to go double? Tom's looking at the safety.
Got to go home again. Wide open. Gronk pulls it down for the two. He's killing Davis.
That's good.
The second half, he's just mauled this defense.
So what, you know, you say, hey, I went to church today. We got to watch football. You know, what's the point? You know, the point is to try to visualize what it looks like to be resilient in a physical sense. And we're going to make parallels to being resilient in a spiritual sense. Okay? That's why we're watching this. This guy's disposition, he's kind of just a fun-loving guy. I mean, he's usually got pictures. He's smiling. He's a joyful guy. Go to the next slide. You know, he's always messing around, taking kind of crazy pictures. Go to the next one. He's got a Minion hat going on there. Him and Tom Brady, I don't know where he got that outfit, but that's him on the right. You know, so what's Gronk got to be resilient about? It seems like he's got everything going his way. You know, he's arguably the best tight end in the NFL ever. He's got Super Bowl rings. He's having a good time, smiling. You know, what's he got to be resilient about? Well, let's look at some of the things that's going on in his eight seasons. 2011, he sprained his ankle, left the game. 2012, broke his forearm, missed five games. 2013, re-broke that arm and had a fractured vertebrae and tore his ACL and MCL and had a concussion. Missed 15 games. Next one. 2015, injured his right knee, missed a game. 2016, a leg injury and a chest injury, missed three more games. This year, had a concussion 2 weeks ago, left the game, just got cleared to play today. It's not like he's had a cakewalk, okay? He's got incredible stats, but he's had some things to work through.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, I've broken one fractured arm. I haven't re-broken it and had vertebrae problems and had a concussion all in the same year. He's got some things he had to bounce back from. But he has.
Yep.
Because he's still playing. He'll be in the game today. He's bouncing back from a concussion. Some may say, well, that doesn't seem very smart. Well, I guess time will tell whether that's smart or not. But the bottom line is, he bounces back. He's resilient. You know, he's had a lot of injuries, a lot of challenging injuries. He's playing with this big sleeve on his arm, probably from some of those injuries. He bounces back. he comes back out and shows up again. He doesn't just say, well, that injury is going to take me out. He pushes on and comes back. And why? I don't know why I didn't get to interview Gronk. I would have liked to interview him because it would have been kind of fun if I could have. But I'm guessing this is some of what goes on that's helped him be resilient physically. Number one, I think he loves the game. You know, it's his love for the game that drives him on to bounce back and keep playing. He works through his trials. Clearly, he does the rehab. If he didn't do the rehab, he wouldn't be playing in the Super Bowl today. All those injuries required rehab. All those injuries required some amount of physical rehabilitation and time and energy, and he put that in because he continues to play. And finally, there's some end goal he must have in mind.
Yep.
You know, I want another Super Bowl ring. I want to, you know, be the greatest tight end of all time. I don't know what it is, but there's some kind of end goal that he has that he keeps in mind.
Yeah.
And I think these same three things we're going to apply to us spiritually being resilient. Okay. So let's kind of walk back through the Gronk's journey and say, okay, let's be a spiritual Gronk. You know, what do we start with? We start with talking about what are some of the things that are amazing about who Gronk is. You know, all these physical attributes. He's big and strong and fast. And he can catch the ball. What about you and I? What amazing facts are true about you today? You know, do you know what they are? You know, if you ask Gronk, hey Gronk, what are some of your assets physically? He would tell you, I am big and strong and fast. I got good hands. I mean, he knows what his attributes are. Do we? Do you know? Can you stand up and say, spiritually, I got some great attributes. Let me tell you what they are. We should know what they are. We should be able to talk about them, right? I'm going to help you out because I think sometimes this is hard for us.
Yeah.
Go to the next one. What's God say in Psalm 139 here? David writes this, says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. What does this mean to us? This means that if this is true of David, this is true of you. God's works are wonderful. You're one of God's works.
Amen.
You should stand up and say, you know, one thing I know about me is, hey, I'm a wonderful dude.
Amen.
Or dudette. You know, I am wonderfully made. I'm amazing. I'm amazing.
Amen.
And you are. Well, how can you say that, Nick? You don't know me. Because God made you.
Yeah.
God made you, and so you are amazing. God made you, so you are wonderful. That is just a fact.
Yeah.
You start there.
Yeah.
Go to the next one. John 3:16. Yes. God so loved the world. Okay. Are you part of the world?
Yes.
God so loved you.
Yep.
What's an attribute you have? You're not loved, you are so loved by the God of all creation.
Amen.
He looks down at you and he's like, I just love you so much. You are so special to me. I can't even tell you how much I love you. You know, when our kids were little, we'd say, how much does Daddy love you? Does Daddy love you this much? And then we'd go through it. No. Does Daddy love you this much? No. Loves you this much. And they're like, yeah. Okay, if me as a very flawed individual, human, can love someone that much, how much does a flawless God love you?
Yeah.
You're starting with this attribute. You are wonderful. You are amazing. You are loved. Next. Deuteronomy 14:2. To be one of God's people, says, out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, God has chosen you to be his treasured possession. Of all the people, of all 7 billion people on the face of the earth, if you're a Christian, God says, you are my treasure. I treasure you. I can't even tell you how special you are. If you're not a Christian, you can be one. It's not a secret club. Everybody gets a chance.
That's right.
You know, you can be one of God's treasured people. These are the attributes we start with. This is where we begin. This is our in our spiritual journey. We got to know this is who I am. If someone interviews you after church today and says, "Hey, tell me some great things about you," let's all say, "Hey, I'm amazing. I am so loved by God, and God treasures me, quite honestly." And it seems funny because we don't say those things very often, I don't think. But we should. I'm not making this stuff up. This is how God feels. And Satan wants to steal that away from us so that we don't think like that every day. But we should think like that. He wants us to think like that.
Yeah.
I want my kids, when they were little, and even when they're old, I want them to know, man, I am so for you. I could not be more for you than I am. I believe God wants that from us. He wants us to wake up and know that, man, God, I am so for you. On your side. With you. I mean, I'm pulling for you. I can't even tell you. I've tried.
Right.
I gave you this. I sent Jesus to die on the cross to try to make the point. I want you to know it. We should start there. Whatever else happens, we should start there. And in our spiritual journey, if we can start there, then we got a fighting chance to be a resilient person. But we got to start there. We got to accept that.
Yeah.
Seems kind of funny. Should that be hard to accept? All these great things? But we have a lot of negative tapes that we can run.
Yeah,
I know, but you know what I did yesterday? Yeah, I know, but man, we got to work hard to kill the lies from Satan and believe what God has to say. Go to the next one. So this is us. This is you. This is where we start. If we're going to be resilient, we got to start here. Go to the next thing. So what about injuries? Okay, you got Gronk. So physically, Gronk is this great specimen of an athlete, but then he has injuries, right?
Yep.
We are great specimens spiritually to God, but sometimes we have injuries.
Yep.
I want you to help me out here. What are some spiritual injuries that you have incurred or you could incur in your spiritual journey? What are some things that come to mind that are you know, PG that you can say? What are some spiritual injuries? What does that mean, do you think? How have you been injured spiritually?
Materialism.
Okay? Materialism, you know, the greed around us can pull us down and we can get set back.
Death of a loved one.
Okay, death, you know, loss. Loss is an injury that we face.
Self-righteousness,
absolutely.
I think like a flawed example of love from childhood that helps you, makes it hard for you to connect with God's love.
Okay. Yeah, relationship challenges, you know, either growing up with them in our present day, whatever.
Lack of faith,
yeah. You know, we look at any situation or look at the future and we can be faithless about it. Yeah. Okay, our view. You know, what's our view? You know, those negative tapes we were just talking about, you know, can injure us.
If your kid's not following God.
Okay. You know, our loved ones that are on a page that we don't want them to be on and what that makes us think and feel. You know, there's a lot of things. I'm sorry? Okay, yeah. You know, and go to the next slide. You know, highlight-wise, you know, health challenges can cause us to have spiritual injury.
Yeah.
Why, God? You know, Job, we were thinking about Job. Why this challenge? Why am I having this? Why am I going through this? You know, our future. A lot of people worry about the future. You know, what's going to happen in my future? What's going to happen in my kid's future?
Right.
You know, the apple is to represent sin. Sin injures us. When we sin, we get that's a spiritual injury. We've mentioned a few specific sins, but we step into the sin cesspool daily, somehow, and we get injured. You know, financial challenges can injure us. You know, all kinds of there's all kinds of things that we can get injured by. And what we do in the injury will really say a lot about the next chapter. If we're resilient, we'll bounce back from that injury and we'll keep on going. If we're not resilient, then that road doesn't look good. You know, if Gronk wasn't resilient, he wouldn't be playing today.
Right.
But he is. Yep. And he'll be playing today. Yep. You know, we want to keep playing. We want to stay in the spiritual game. We want to stay in the spiritual arena till Jesus comes back or we die. The goal is not to be spiritual for a season. Let's be spiritual for our lifetime. So to do that, we got to be resilient people.
Yep.
Go to the next slide. So we got to do these three things. We got to keep our love for God. You know, we're talking about three things all year. Love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love others and share the good news. We got to keep God in our presence. We got to have an active relationship with God. It's got to be real. It's got to be meaningful. If we're going to be resilient, God's got to be foremost and in the mix.
Yep.
He can't just be on the back burner and on the shelf. He's got to be real and and right in front of us. We got to work through our trials. We're going to have them.
Yep.
We're going to work through them or we're not. But if we'll work through them, if we'll do the rehab, we'll come out on the other side. We got to gaze at the goal line. You know, one day, we're all going to die. That's going to happen. And when that happens, we're either going to be with God or we're not. If we're going to be with God, it's going to be amazing. If we're going to be with God, it's going to be incredible. If we're going to be with God, we're going to be in this place where there's no sin. Imagine being in a place where there's no sin. Anywhere. Not ours, not anybody. I mean, zero. 100% sin-free environment. I want to get there. We got to think about that goal line. Imagine what that would be like to exist in a place where sin is absent. That is something. We're going to Hebrews chapter 12. You know, there's a lot of resilient people in the Bible. You could almost say everybody in the Bible is a resilient person of some kind. But I mean, you can just walk through the list, you know, of all the great names of people in the Bible, and almost every single one of them has some story where they had to bounce back.
Yeah.
David, you know, this amazing king, amazing guy, killed Goliath. We all know the story. And of course, he fell hard when he got injured by the sin he chose to get into. But he bounced back.
Yeah.
Moses, great leader of God's people. We know all the great things about Moses, but he killed a guy and ran for his life for 40 years. But he bounced back. And we could just keep going on and on and on about all the characters, all the faithful men of the and women of the Bible who hit trials and were resilient and bounced back.
Yep.
Here we're going to look at, you know, the example of Jesus in Hebrews 12 in verse 1. So since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, verse 2, let's focus on verse 2 for a minute and these three items. In verse 2, it says that for the joy set before him. Jesus is on the cross And he's got God in the middle of that trial. He's imagining God helping him through this thing. He's imagining what this is going to accomplish. He's imagining God's totally in the mix of the trial of the cross. He's praying on the cross. Right? In our trials, to work through our trial and our love for God, they really go together. And they went together for Jesus. He's on the cross. He's praying to God. He's picturing what this is accomplishing. The salvation of all the souls of mankind who will choose to accept God's grace. And for that joy, he got through the trial. And then it says, you know, what about the end goal? It says that he ended up at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. He knew where his destination was, the destination after the trial. All three of these things existed for Jesus on the cross. You know, in the verse 1, it says, throw off sin that so easily entangles. You know, a lot of our injuries are our sin. What do we do with it? What do you do with the moment after you realized you sinned? What do you do? What do you do after you take on that injury? You know, we got to work through that.
Yep.
We got to work through throwing off that sin. We got to work through that sin that's trying to entangle us and detangle. There's no shortcut. We got to pray. We got to bring God into the picture.
Yeah.
We got to look at scriptures that help us throw it off. Yeah. We got to remember who we are. We got to remember those attributes, because we're not feeling them when we take on that injury from our sin.
Right.
We're not feeling wonderful. Right? Mm-hmm. We're not feeling amazing. Mm-hmm. We're not feeling treasured.
Yeah.
And so we got to work, and we got to pray, and we got to read. And we got to get that back, because our injury has set us back. We want to bounce back from it. We don't want to just disappear in a pool of oblivion because of our sin. But it takes effort. Rehab takes effort. We could all visit Brigetta, who's in rehab from a broken hip, and talk to her about the effort that it takes. We can ask Richard to tell us what efforts already he's been watching with Brigetta. You know, and I've talked to them a little bit, visited them a little bit, and it's been painful.
Yeah.
It's been challenging. You know, when we were visiting, it's been a couple of days now, but Brigetta couldn't move her leg very well at all, but she had a belt, and she put the belt around her foot and used the belt to move her leg. She could just do a little bit, but she was doing the little bit she could.
That's right.
She was working through it. We got to do whatever we can.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we got to do a little step, and we got to add to that another little step, and another step, and another step, and then it adds up, and someday, God willing, Brigitte will be walking again, and she won't need to get a belt to move her leg, because she'll move it herself.
Yeah.
But you got to work through it. We gotta understand it's what it takes. We gotta run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You know, sometimes we get tripped up because we look at somebody else's race.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not fair.
Yep.
Tim's got the golden life. Nothing ever happens to Tim. Tim has no trials. Tim Harlow. Sorry, Tim. Tim Blakemore's over here saying, I got the same name as that Tim over there, but I got all these trials. He has none of these trials. That's not fair. We got to run with perseverance the race marked out for you.
Amen.
You can't run somebody else's race.
That's right.
They can't run your race.
Right.
We got to run our own. And not everybody gets the same number of obstacles.
Yeah.
Not everybody gets the same number of trials.
That's
Not everybody's trials look the same. Not everybody's trials feel the same. The thing we have in common is we all have trials.
That's right.
The thing we have in common is we get injured by our trials and our sin. Those things are common. But the specifics are going to be a little different. Don't look at somebody else's race and throw yours off. You got to run yours. I got to run mine. But let's run it.
Yeah.
Let's stay in the race.
Amen.
Let's persevere.
Amen.
Let's throw off the sin that so easily entangles. Let's kill the lies and the negative tapes where Satan's trying to say, you aren't amazing and you aren't treasured. And let's remember and let's reread the verses that we looked at. No, I am.
Yep.
I am amazing. I am wonderfully made. Yep. I am treasured by God. I am so loved. I know I screwed up last hour, but that's who I am, and I'm bouncing back.
Right.
And we got to work through it. We got to remember the goal line. We got to remember that someday at the end of this journey is a place where we get to be with God, where sin is non-existent. There will be no injuries in heaven. No spiritual injuries, no physical injuries, no injuries. It's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be amazing. I can't even imagine how amazing. But I'm looking forward to getting there. We've got to keep it in mind. And then you see verse 3. Consider him. Consider Jesus. Who endured such opposition from sinful men. Why consider Jesus? Why think about Jesus on the cross? Why let that be something we focus on so that you won't grow weary and lose heart? Focus on Jesus so that you'll be resilient. Focus on Jesus so that you'll bounce back. Focus on Jesus so you won't give up and quit. He didn't. And that means a whole lot for us. And we can make it. Everybody in here can make it through this life with God through our injuries. Everybody can make it. There's nobody here that's going to face a trial that's bigger than you can withstand because God has promised that won't happen.
Right.
We can make it. We can be resilient. We can throw off the sin that so easily entangles. And we can live a life with God now, which is awesome. And then we can be with God in heaven later, which will be even more awesome. So as we sing a song and take the Lord's Supper here in a moment, let's just think about Jesus' example and be resilient like him. Thank you.